Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
WrestleVille.com presents the book Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich.
Hear how he was discovered, what happened when he was at World Class, and the adventures he had when he left Dallas.
Also available, The Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 1 and 2.
Read stories of the Northern Wrestling Federation, Jazz, Bobby Eaton, Thunder Rosa, Tracy Smothers, Harley Race, PJ Black, Bushwhacker Luke, The Fantastics, Ricky Morton, Scott Casey, Tim Storm, Kamala, Sal Renaro, Jeremiah Plunkett, Andrew Anderson, and many more.
Get your books today at WrestleVille.com. It's where wrestling lives.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
And now for something completely different.
I'm a Hall of Famer. I'm in 3 Halls of Fame. For the young fans, they don't give a damn. They just give a damn about themselves and what they're hearing now. And I got no problem with those rules. I know the rules going in. I'm happy to play the game that way.
And when Ivan came off with that knee drop from the top rope and he pinned me, I thought that something happened. I couldn't hear a thing. You could have heard the pin drop in that arena. It touched me so deeply that when I went in the dressing room, I really felt depressed.
I'll tell you that, I'll tell you right to his face. If Hogan and I, if he wanted to get in a real street fight with me, trust me, he would lose, and he knew it.
You know, that's the other thing. They give you the belt, and they're like, okay, you're in charge of me. I was like, what?
When you mentioned a guy like Harley Race, that kind of legendary status, it's obvious why people would get upset.
As far as I'm concerned, Roddy Piper was not a wrestler. He wasn't even a good worker. If he had to go out and work his way to the top and not have good friends like Jim Barnett. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a good guy. He's just not a tough guy.
Bro, I swear to you, I don't have an ego. Like, I don't give a crap. That stuff is not important to me. People don't know me. They have no idea of who I am. They know of me as being a fictional character that they saw on TV.
People didn't understand that, you know, the guy they saw in the ring that happened to be using his real name and happened to actually be the president of the company, they really believed that that guy that they loved to hate was actually a pretty decent guy. And I think many people have the perception that I really was that character.
But
that's not good.
Hey, and you're keeping busy, but thank you for turning the call. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, I guess, like the current state of the wrestling business and what you think is going on here in the world of the franchise Shane Douglas, and what you think of current pro wrestling. It's weird. It's popular right now, but it's also niche.
Yeah, very niche, and I think that's the problem, right? There's, you know, we've talked about this on our old podcast with the ratings hemorrhaging. Now I know people are watching stuff. Like my youngest son, he looks at the television when he's watching a Steelers or Lakers game. Everything else in that phone. But there's other ways that you can tell. When you've been around as long as I have, there's ways that you can tell. You know, I have a pretty good finger on the pulse. Of course, where I live, people know me. I've been on television for the better part of four decades, or damn near. And I typically will get, you know, wrestling questions here or there. I haven't had anybody bring wrestling up to me other than, hey, I love the new podcast. I haven't heard a single wrestling question. I've heard a ton of criticism, like when somebody will see at the grocery store and go, oh, man, let's call it AEW, or, you know, like condescendingly commenting. And I think that's reflective in the ratings and with what we're seeing. Like the buildings, my understanding is the buildings are having trouble selling out. You know, you were a fan at the time. If you could have, back in the day, there was a time when WWF was running four towns per night, A, B, C, and D, and all four of them would be sold out. So there's a lot of superficial signs that our business is not in the best condition. What surprises me, I think, the most right now, JP, is after spending $9 billion for the WWE, I would have expected Endeavor / UFC to have a plan in place, ready to go. We just spent $9 billion. You know, you buy a $9 billion home, I'm guessing you want to have some nice drapes in there, you know. And instead, it looks like they're just sort of haphazardly meandering along. Now, full disclosure, that's based off what I'm hearing fans saying and the occasional thing I will see online. I haven't seen or watched anything in quite a while. You know, and then, you know, we're seeing the other stuff, and I'll say allegedly up front. But, you know, the stuff about Jericho is not a good look in this day and age. You know, and the Tony Khan thing, with all the money he's spending, he should have a communication specialist on that team, because him going out and saying what he said right after that posting of the NDA and that whole debacle, he should have stayed 10 million miles away from that. And instead goes out and makes a comment that it's the safest working environment in wrestling. And wasn't it just a few weeks ago that he said that he feared for his life?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, honestly, you need to have a communication specialist, that there's somebody who knows what to say, what not to say. And that kind of stuff, as we've talked about ad nauseum in the old podcast, that needs to be handled with kid professional gloves today. You know, it's just a different world we're living in. And, you know, again, allegedly, I don't know this girl. I don't know anything about it other than what the public knows. I've spoken to nobody on the inside about it, but it's just not a good look. And at a time when their ratings, now, again, this comes hearsay to me, but I understand WWE just did under a million and AEW is down to 300,000. Is that correct?
Well, right now, Raw does about 1.7 million. When The Rock was on his quarter hour, it did over 2 million. SmackDown usually does like 2.3 million. There's two AEW shows, Rampage and Collision. They do about 300 to 400 a week. Dynamite does 800,000 a week.
Yeah, and again, no growth season, right? We're still seeing the same numbers that we saw 3 years ago. And with the amount of money, and I stick by everything I said in the podcast, in the Triple Threat podcast, you know, that 3 years in and the amount of money that's been spent there, they should be nipping at least at Vince's heels. We say Vince, although he's gone, at Endeavor's heels, I guess. And there's still that gap. There's still the lack of growing any kind of audience there. We were blessed to have been in wrestling when it hit the stratosphere. And, you know, we've talked about these numbers ad nauseum, you know, the 48 to 52 million weekly viewers back then. And, you know, when I hear you say, like, under two, you know, for me, I'd always thought the WWE's core audience was 5 million. you could put a broom versus a mop, a mop versus a broomstick out there, and you'd get 5 million. And then they cracked past the five, and then I thought three. And they cracked past that, and I thought, okay, 2.5. And that number keeps just dropping. Again, being completely fair to everybody, I'm sure there are a lot of people watching online and you know, different snippets or whatever, YouTube, you name it. But I doubt that it would equal cumulatively the number that we're watching just here in the United States back then. Again, I feel like I'm beating this dead horse that I've been saying this stuff for so long. It's the product. Remember, it's the economy, stupid, the Bill Clinton line. It's the product, stupid. If the product in the ring is not going to satiate what the fans are looking for, you're not going to go. You're not going to partake in watching it or going to the show. And if you go to a restaurant that makes your favorite hamburger and suddenly they don't serve your hamburger, now they're serving bologna, you're probably not going to go to that restaurant. It's about the product. And the product is abysmally failing. There's been no improvement in that from, again, the scant amount that I've watched. Several months ago, I went to an AEW show, and Taz and me and Jerry and Dean and a bunch of us. First of all, shout out to Dean. I heard he had some surgery done and helping out with his condition, so glad to hear it went well for him. But we were talking, you know, and the conversation sort of settled in on Taz and my angle. And we were talking about the angle, and slowly kids started filtering, paying attention, listening, like gathering around. And not at all being in any way disrespectful, but one of the young kids said to me, well, see, franchise, that's the difference now. The fans know it's a work, so it doesn't have to make sense. And I looked at Taz jokingly, and I said, did he really just say that to me? I figured I'd play with him a little bit, try to teach him. And I said, you ever heard of this? There was a movie out when I was a kid. It's a really cool movie. I don't know if you ever heard it. It's called Star Wars. He goes, oh, I love Star Wars. Yeah, me too. I said, so you know what a lightsaber is? You know what a Darth Vader helmet looks like, the Millennial Falcon, Chewbacca? He goes, yeah. I said, okay, great. Why does Disney spend $200 to $300 million per movie on special effects? I mean, they could put the actors out there in a broomstick and just put some sound effects. Now, you can imagine it's a lightsaber and put a tin bucket on the actor playing Darth Vader. Imagine along with that. And the kids look at me like I'm crazy. Like he's looking like with a real weird look. And I said, they do that because they want you to suspend disbelief so that you go into that place that doesn't exist. And then I asked about Chekhov's gun, of which he had never heard the phrase. So I said to him at the end, I said, look, if you're telling yourself before you go through that curtain that you don't need to make it make sense, you've already defeated yourself. And I urged him to go back and look at the angle of being Gary Wolf, the throwdown. Same exact thing these kids are doing as a work. The difference was that audience would have ripped me and Francine to pieces if they could have gotten our hands on us. And I understand it's a different game today, but the further you venture away from what the business was, the business that went to that stratosphere I spoke about a minute ago, the further you get away from pulling those fans back to the table. And they're so jaded now because over the last 20 years, they've had, opportunity after opportunity thrown at them. They've had ECW that, captured the imagination and altered the flow of the river for a little bit, but ultimately failed. You had Ring of Honor, you've had TNA, you've had Impact, you've had NWA brought back, now you have AEW. And those fans that have walked away, their money's as green as everybody else, and here's a question, the point to make for them. They're incredibly loyal, but they also know what they like, and they know what they don't like. And so like we talked about previously in the Triple Threat podcast with the 1.4 million debut show, incredible. That was absolutely incredible. Next week, a 50% drop, and they've still done nothing to reach out to those fans, and it's perplexing to me. In management, they tell you, if you're selling thingamajigs, do you want to sell thingamajigs to 334 million Americans or to 3.4 million Americans? Obviously, the answer is the first. And it seems like our industry has completely forgotten and given up and don't care about that 48 to 50 million fans that have walked away. And until you reach out to them, until you get that product back to looking like something like that, I fear that we're going to see what wrestling is, what it is right now, the niche that you mentioned, the niche that it's become, it will remain that niche. And until they reach out to those fans, it's just going to remain that. And it's perplexing to me because common sense would dictate. You don't have to be a wrestling veteran for 40 years. Common sense would dictate reach out to those fans, listen to those fans, cater to those fans, and bring them back to the table. My guess would be if you even lost one for every one you gained, I'd be shocked if you did. But even if you did, you got 48 million of them, and you got, 300,000 to 800,000 of these. So, again, I just think they need to have somebody there that understands the industry, knows how to grow the industry. And these things I talk about all the time, like in Franchise University, and we've spoken previously at Triple Threat Podcast. The nuanceical stuff is the stuff that creates the great stuff, right? It's that we know these kids how incredibly athletic they are. So going out there and popping just another backflip or another flying maneuver that's incredible, they've already seen that 20 times on the show. So nobody wants to read chapter one again. So you've got to find a way to be different. When I hear people like Art Anderson saying not a single question asked in 3 years. Now everybody does Art and I are friends, and I respect the world out of him. He's an incredible wrestler. But that's just silly. If you were in the NFL, and let's say the Steelers drafted you to be a quarterback, which we all need right now because Mason Rudolph's doing pretty great. But if you got drafted in and you see Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and Terry Bradshaw standing around, you might ought to want to have a question or two for them. You'd probably be able to learn something from those legends. And, I'm not big on the business today, but I am big on the kids. With that athleticism, it's just a little bit of being led by the nose and being taught and listening. And, Dominic DiNucci put it best. A few months before he died, my son and I, Caden, went out and we were watching AEW with him. And Dominic was sitting over there with his mouth hanging open, eyebrows knitted, what the hell am I looking at? And I looked over and I said, Dominic, I motioned, tapped the bottom of my jaw, close your mouth, you're going to catch flies. And he looked at me and said, well, MF-er, the kids are working 10 times harder than they have to get 10 times less reaction. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, and that's the point is, if you're going to go out there and execute all that athleticism, do it in a way that's going to get the fans to go, wow, or hooray, or boo, or F you. Don't just go out there to show off to the couple thousand people that are watching on the internet. They're there already anyway. It's the same admonition I'd given Dixie all those years ago. Stop worrying about what they say. They're going to watch anyway because they're know-it-alls, right? They're going to come along regardless of what you put in that ring. Don't play to them. Play to that other audience. And somehow that's being missed, and I don't know how or why, but it's silly.
When you look at AEW 2, I know Disco Inferno got in trouble, but he said, hey, maybe we should do a reboot. And Jim Ross is so funny. He said the same thing, and he didn't get any heat. But Disco got a ton of heat for saying, oh, reboot. Tony Khan called him a relevant parasite. He went nuts on him. But it was funny that Jim Ross said the same thing, but nobody said anything to JR about it.
Yeah, that shows you the intent. We talk so often about fake news and everything. If a word coming out of my mouth is offensive, it's offensive coming out of your mouth. If you get punished for it, I should get punished for it. That's just that's absolutism. Instead of taking criticism and becoming angry about it and firing back off of it, maybe sit down with that brain trust together, because they've got a lot of talented people in that back room, dressing room area. Maybe sit down with them and say, hey, what do they mean by this? Do you agree with this? And, what can we do about it? Instead of getting defensive. That's all. It's what you want to do. If your intention is to hang on to what you have, well, again, television, if you're not growing, you're dying. And so, hanging on, newspapers are trying to hang on, not doing a very good job of it. Cable television trying to hang on, raising the prices to the roof, not doing a very good job of it. These are dinosaurs. They're dying. They're becoming extinct. And hanging on to something instead of aggressively going out after an audience is one way how you should do it, and the other way is how you absolutely should not do it. And I think I see a whole lot too much of the hanging on. Fill me in, WWE after the purchase by Endeavor. Have they announced any plans? Have they, other than saying they were getting rid of Vince and Hunter's in charge, has there been any attempt to jostle the formula to to make it endeavors. In other words, you know, if I go in and start a new character, I don't want this character to just be like this character or that character. I want to create a character that's unique. And, you know, if I would seem to think that the end, because it seems like such an odd fit to be UFC and WWE. Those are like two polar opposites of each other. And I think that they haphazardly venture into, you know, just, hey, let's do it this way or that way. Let's just see what happens. Or let's just bring in WWE part two and, you know, see where that goes. They have to have a stamp on it. Have they announced any plan? Have they shown a hand that they have any plan in what they're doing with it?
No, it's so interesting. So Mark Shapiro from TKO, he basically was saying, like, there's going to be a ton of cuts, which there was internally, all the production people, and they basically are going to scale down a lot of things internally. But as far as, like, the WWE product, no stamp on it, no change, no difference. And even Kevin Dunn, after they just said they were making production cuts, basically said, okay, you know, I don't want to deal with this. And Kevin Dunn retires. You know, he takes his $100 million and goes off the
right.
But he just retired, but there's no, like, stamp on it where there's any sort of change. It's just like, oh, by the way, Triple H is booking it now, and, like, here we go. We're just going to continue on. So the only real changes are, like, they're going to a lot more stadium shows because of Nick Khan, but it's not really a TKO thing. It's, you know, going to Australia, France, Germany, all these different countries. That's more of like a Nick Khan thing, and it was kind of started when Vince was there. So to me, there's no big stamp on it. Like, hey, TKO's here. This is Endeavor's company now. There's none of that.
Yeah, see, that's shocking for something you spent $9 billion for. Typically, when a company buys another company for that kind of juice, there's a period of, like, letting the dust settle, and then there's this massive retooling, right? We're going to change the bottles and it's Coca-Cola, or we're going to, you know, whatever. And that they haven't done that yet because we're what, 6 months post-sale?
Yep.
So it's, you know, they should have had this by now. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, and this is, please don't take this any kind of shot at Hunter. I think Hunter is seen by many people as a vestige of the last regime, as opposed to being, okay, now it's going to be different or whatever. And I see online some people say, oh, Hunter's in charge, now it's going to be different. He did this in, you know, what's the other, the minor league company?
NXT.
NXT, yeah. It was fun for my ex-wife about the teachers in NEA, and I knew it wasn't NEA. But, yeah, it's, you know, there's that. But then, like, every time I've turned it on, even after hearing, hey, Hunter's made these changes, when I would turn it on, unless it was just luck of the draw the day I was turning it on, it looked exactly like it used to look. I didn't see any real big differences. So, you know, they have to do that. They ought to do it. It's interesting to see. And, like, in something like this, I think there's a window of opportunity, right? If they wait too long, it's going to be like, oh, now they're trying to fix it. They're, like, playing catch-up or, you know, trying to, you know, this wasn't working, so they're going to that. And that's never a good look. You know, a company the size of Endeavor and TKO should have announced within the first week or two, this is our plan. This is why we bought this company. And this is the attempt that we're going to make. And then make moves towards doing that. And if they haven't done that yet, and again, I'm talking esoterically here because I haven't seen much of their product. But if they haven't done that yet, the window may have passed, and they may be stuck with what they have right now. And again, like if now trying to do it would look like, okay, now they realize this wasn't working, so they're trying something else. There's an air of desperation about it. Perplexing to me.
Crazy, though. I know inflation has a lot to do with it, but the money they're making now is nuts. It's, they, quote-unquote, had the biggest year money-wise, revenue-wise in WWE history because, you know, they were selling out all this stuff. I mean, they sell insane tickets. I went to the MSG House Show, which was the return of Punk after 10 years. They sold it out, 16,000 seats. I got a decent price on my ticket, but my buddy spent like three or four times the amount that I spent on my ticket. So it was like, man, they're charging crazy money for tickets, but they're breaking records. Like Punk broke the MSG record, or actually the house show record for financial, you know, making money, grossing on the event. So it's crazy. It's like there's no, maybe there's no need to do anything crazy because they're making so much money right now. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, again, you credit, everybody knows my personal feeling for Vince, but you'd never hear me say he's a bad businessman. And he spent, what, 30 years
better part of the last 30 years building this type of, this new machine, this new beast of, you know, of all these revenue sources that didn't exist 30 years ago. Still, you know, the UFC to me is a juggernaut. And, you know, if they're, again, if they're just living off of what they had and they're making money, my fear is the economy's in such a precarious place right now. Yes, and you see, still see jobs creation, and yes, you still see inflation. You see all these things that sort of seem like status quo, even as we can all feel that it's getting worse. This is very reminiscent of the buildup to the Great Depression, by the way. You know, everything, the good time 20s, you know, the roaring 20s, and all of a sudden, boom, the bottom drops out. And so few people were prepared for it, they just didn't believe it was ever going to end. And the same thing right now, the government has been dumping free money out there and, by and large, keeping the economy somewhat afloat. When the economy turns south, and I expect it to turn south, I hope it doesn't, but I expect it to. And if or when it does, things like wrestling become an extravagance, because now you got to put beans and food on the table and, you know, pay the electric bill and, you know, pay the rent or mortgage, put gas in the car. So things like wrestling and entertainment become a frivolity. And, you know, you could see that this great year that they've been having, you could see that turn on a dime if the economy nosedives at any particular point. So, yeah, I mean, it's just like right now the industry is in such a precarious place. I think there was a whole lot of excitement and built up synergy when it was announced that Endeavor's buying this thing for $9 billion, double what they spent for the UFC, and we know how successful it is. But, you know, very different times. The UFC was sold at a time the economy boomed for, what, 8, 9, 10 years. And, you know, this economy is looking a little more precarious. So, I mean, it's like I always used to say in the Triple Threat podcast, I'm very reticent to ever just write them off because, you know, they have built an impressive juggernaut of a business. But keep in mind, that's an expensive company to turn lights on in the morning. So, you know, the nimbleness, if the economy turns south as quickly as a lot of people expect it to, then suddenly that big behemoth, there's a lot of faces and names in there you have to pay and whatever else. I would love to see what it costs to run that company on a day-to-day point. But we'll see. I mean, it's I still want to give Endeavor the benefit of the doubt because they've been so successful and deft with the UFC. But boy, it's starting to get to the point now where it's long. Have there been any announcements for the Hall of Fame made yet? Or
no, nothing yet. Are you expecting to be named?
Oh, shit. Hell no. That wasn't what I was asking. I was asking because of being in Philadelphia, and I think there's going to be a you know, strong contingency of ECW fans there. It would be certainly wise for them to induct a Bam Bam Bigelow or Chris Candido or something like that. You know, Hunter in charge, I don't know if that'll happen. The rumor I've heard multiple times is that they're going to induct Paul Heyman and ECW vis-a-vis Paul Heyman. You know, good for the name ECW, but I believe that people like Sabu, Francine, Chris Candido, Bam Bam Bigelow, and a whole slew of others have earned the right to stand at that podium. And for me, I know people think I'm saying this because I like sour grapes or whatever. I honestly have zero desire to be in that. A, I made very little of my career there. Very, very little of my career. And, you know, the talk among the fans, those fans that I'm talking about that everybody's ignoring, is how is Ivan Koloff not in there? How is Dominic DiNucci not in there? How are so many of these guys that were stalwarts, the people that my generation grew up watching, how are they not in there? And to me, I would think, even though Dominic's gone, and no more than I would disrespect my father and his service, I would never disrespect Dominic and say, sure, I should be in the Hall of Fame for a company I never barely worked for. And I do believe that there's a lot of people like Sabu, for instance. To me, Sabu was a transitional figure in wrestling. I was a mock-up of the wrestlers that came before me, little pieces of Flair and Harley and Terry Funk and Dominic and to all those guys. I was a wrestler. I was like the guys before me. Sabu changed the game. And, you know, he certainly deserves to be in there because of being that transitional figure. There, by the way, transitional figures are few and far between. The last that I can recall, would be, and I'm sure there's some in between that I'm missing or not thinking of, but Tommy Rich, before him, baby faces were tough guy, you know, looking guys, bigger guys, and stand toe-to-toe with the heel and slug it out or whatever. Suddenly you have this, you know, 12-year-old looking kid, skinny by wrestling nature, getting the shit beat out of him, bleeding like a stuck pig, but then all of a sudden firing up, right? And that's the template that baby faces for the last 30 years have been. So, you know, Tommy Rich should be in there, I believe. Because of that, that's a rarity to be transitional, transformational in any genre. You know, if you come in and create some new music style and sell 10 million albums, you're going to make a boatload of money and be remembered forever and certainly be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So my hope is something like that. And I think Bam Bam would be the more likely choice because of his, you know, run with you know, his successful match at WrestleMania with a non-wrestler, Lawrence Taylor. Plus, you know, I think Bammer had a pretty big impact on the business. You know, as a big man, he changed how big men wrestled. And people ask me all the time, would I induct him? Of course I would induct him. I love Bammer. I love Chris. I respected both of them and their work. But for me personally, I have zero desire. It's a bauble, right? Okay, I get lots of baubles in this business. And, you know, if my franchise character and run had been in the WWE, then I would say, yeah, I deserve to be there. But having not been there and having done so little when I was there, it just seems like, okay, that would be like a silly thing, right? Okay, it's just sort of like a gift being given to you. And honestly, I want nothing from WWE. You know, that's, you know, my personal thing. But, of course, I would induct Bammer, Dominic, Candido, and Sabu. I'd be proud to induct any of those guys. But it's going to be interesting to see because by now, you know this a lot better than I do. Haven't they started making the announcements by now?
Usually, yes.
How far out?
Usually it's basically around the Royal Rumble, which is right now. So that's usually exactly when they do it. Basically 3 months out is when they start making the announcements.
Okay, so it's not, you know, we're not like in no man's land just yet, but it'd be interesting to see. You know, personally, and I've talked to my friends from ECW about this, to me, inducting ECW as a promotion is generic, and I think it's tending to the legacy that ECW has become. Yes, it deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and Paul does as being the booker of that. But, you know, I think, like, so far we've seen the ones that have gone in from ECW, deservedly so, but have been the ones that have gone and played ball with Vince after ECW. And there's a lot of us that didn't. But, you know, and I still believe and stand by that. I think a lot of those guys and ladies in ECW deserve to be in a Hall of Fame. But WWE Hall of Fame, yeah. Not so sure, you know, notwithstanding the fact that there was that connection between Paul and Vince that we'd found out about too late. But, you know, point made is that ECW was to be the antithesis of WWE. So.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com and you'll discover that Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy dream team in minutes. Sign up now with the code POWERTRIP and you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. That's right, deposit $100 and get $100 for free. Underdog keeps it simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players to fill out your pick'em slip, get every pick right, and take home some cold, hard cash. Use that promo code POWERTRIP and get your first deposit doubled up by $100 by Underdog. That's underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code POWERTRIP today.
Russellville.com presents the book Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich.
Hear how he was discovered, what happened when he was at world class, and the adventures he had when he left Dallas.
Also available, the Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 1 and 2.
Read stories of the Northern Wrestling Federation, Jazz, Bobby Eaton, Thunder Rosa, Tracy Smothers, Harley Race, PJ Black, Bushwhacker Luke, The Fantastics, Ricky Morton, Scott Casey, Tim Storm, Kamala, Sal Renaro, Jeremiah Plunkett, Andrew Anderson, and many more.
Get your books today at Russellville.com. It's where wrestling lives.
We love the 1980s wrestling era when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lanny Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.